Blog Talk Radio.
The 1960s and 70s ushered in big changes for women in America. From family life to the workplace to reproductive rights, there was a charge for change known as the women's rights movement. But long before then came the fight for women's suffrage, which granted American women the right to vote in 1919. That movement, led by Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton, paved the way for the second wave of feminism in the 60s and 70s. In 1960, family planning was transformed as the FDA approved birth control pills for contraceptive use, opening a new chapter for the career women. About 3 years later, at the urging of Esther Peterson, President John F. Kennedy signed the Equal Pay Act. Also that year, Betty Friedan published The Feminine Mystique, which documented what she saw as the oppression of middle-class women.
We're all housewives, in the beginning and the end, although we have to be much more than that in the world now.
By the 1970s, women of all ages, races, and backgrounds had joined in the fight for equality. Gloria Steinem campaigned for a constitutional amendment to guarantee equal rights for women. And in 1972, Congress passed the Equal Rights Amendment.
Hey, what are you saying?
Though the amendment was never ratified, the following year the Supreme Court would make a decision that would have a profound effect on the lives of American women. In the landmark case, Roe v. Wade, the High Court ruled that a woman has a constitutional right to choose to have an abortion. Abortion services were made safer and more accessible to women after the ruling, which would face repeated challenges in later years. Although Roe v. Wade was decided in 1973, the fight over abortion rights and women's equality continued to this day in the U.S. and around the world.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening. This is Lori Picka from Michigan. I hope everyone is well tonight, and we have a good show lined up.
Yes. You can call in at 515-605-9802. Say your first name, where you're calling from. Do not speak over the horse, or you'll be cut off immediately. Give everybody a chance to make their point. And we can have a good show tonight. Tonight's topic, Season 6, Episode 22, Significant Challenges, 2024. It is Monday, January 8th, 2024. And we're 7 days away, a week away from the Iowa caucuses. And, Iowa is gearing up. And in a week after that, it's going to be the New Hampshire primaries. So, we'll have a good show lined up, as Laura said. And, yes, the first thing on the agenda is the five issues and trends to expect states to tackle in 2024, women's rights and abortion rights.
to artificial intelligence, to workforce shortages. States will immediately dive into a host of major policy issues in a new year. 2024 will be a monumental presidential election year, but when it comes to policy, it will be the state governments that see the most action over the next 12 months. So we're looking forward to the calls and your participation, but thank you for liking us on Facebook and joining our Facebook group. And also you can check www.kitchenpolitics123.com. A lot has been going on in America and around the world, and so many wars going on. America has her hands full, challenges at home and abroad. What are the successes and shortcomings we face in 2024? Will Trump be found guilty and put in prison? Will Joe Biden be reelected? It's an uphill battle for Joe Biden. Will China invade Taiwan? Will Russia stop their assault on Ukraine? Will the Middle East blow up? Are we on the brink of World War III? So many questions and so little time to answer them. 515-605-9802, the number to call. And this is Kitchen Politics 123. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking, Lori.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Let's talk for a moment about some of the issues that you mentioned that are really important to the American people. Besides abortion rights, which is front and center to most women in this country, I think healthcare is very important. Education is very important. We need to talk about kitchen table issues, and that has to be the center of what people, because there are many people in this country that only look at like one issue. So for one voter, it might be the abortion issue. For another voter, it might be that they need better health care. Another voter might is worried about gun control or the environment. So mm-hmm. we have to find a way to try to make everyone happy and create an umbrella, so to speak, so all of these policies can be put in place and talked about before the election. And that's a hard mm-hmm. thing to do because of everything else that's going on in the country. And we know that Trump is doing everything that he can to just make a disarray of everything. He's trying mm-hmm. to cause confusion, appeals. Tomorrow he'll be in court again. I mean, it's just an ongoing saga. And if we didn't have mm-hmm. him to worry about, you know, being a threat, not a threat because I think he can win, but just a threat in general because of what happened on January 6th, then I mm-hmm. think things would go much smoother in this country because President mm-hmm. Biden has done a fantastic job in the past years, you know, mm-hmm. in the country. So let's talk a little mm-hmm. bit about that. First, let's talk about mm-hmm. the abortion. It's important to a lot of women and, of course, young women, you know, families. There was in Texas, just a story came out that she's probably the first mother that actually died because she could not get the abortion that she needed. She wasn't able to leave the state. And four different doctors looked at her paperwork after she did pass away. And all four of them said that it was because of the pregnancy that she died. And if she would have had an abortion, she would have probably still been here, you know, been alive, mm-hmm. I should say. So that within itself is a policy that, or a reason to vote for Democrats. That's a reason to vote for President Biden because mm-hmm. he is pro-choice. He would not allow a woman to die because they have an anti-abortion, you know, policy in their state that is so old and antiquated and so perverse and evil. To let a woman die instead of having mm-hmm. an abortion for life. So, you know, mm-hmm. that's what we have to do. What do you say about that, David?
I think the best choice America has now is Joe Biden and Democrats because, as even Republicans mm-hmm. saying, Chip Roy from Texas, and a lot of Republicans saying they have absolutely nothing to run on, they're focused on this mm-hmm. abortion issue.
and gun control issue, mm-hmm. where they do nothing about gun control, and different news medias, when you have Republicans on who are running for re-election in the House of Representatives, that admit that, hey, we have nothing to run on, you know, so mm-hmm. they have no plan. And if Donald Trump is a nominee, he says he's going to get rid of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. What would he put in its place? Mm-hmm. You know, he said that during his first term, and absolutely mm-hmm. nothing comes of it. You know, so it's just mm-hmm. like a horse and pony show, basically, where Republicans just chat, and there's no backing to what they're talking about, mm-hmm. no backup plan. You know, so just because Obama, you know, made the Affordable Care Act, a black man, they want to get rid of it. It's helping millions of people mm-hmm. across America, you know, and the mm-hmm. Republican field, Nikki Haley is an outright liar and a flip-flopper. Vivek Ramaswamy, he's just annoying at best. Ron DeSantis is a Trump light, and Trump, you know, is Trump. He's just a buffoon, an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And he did say that he's going to be a dictator from day one. So America don't need any mm-hmm. dictators. The system is not set up to for us to have a dictator as president of the United States. Mm-hmm. You know, with great responsibility, you know, comes with the office. And while seeing his first term that Donald Trump, you know, take no responsibility for anything. You know, he's just wayward mm-hmm. and arrogant and stupid. You know, so the best choice is Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and a Democratic Congress, both the House and the mm-hmm. Senate. And not only that, should also vote legislatures to be Democratic mm-hmm. because Republicans are a one-trick pony. Abortion, mm-hmm. anti-abortion. And women have shown in Deep Red, Ohio, and other states in Kentucky that their rights, you know, nobody should touch them. They fought tooth and nail for those rights. The Supreme Court took it away. Mm-hmm. And so the women are fighting back. You know, they're pissed off and they're angry. And I bet you to my last dollar that woman will come out in droves, along with Generation X, Gen Z, millennials. Mm-hmm. Millennials, some of them are voting for the first time. You know, they're pumped up and ready. My only concern mm-hmm. is this Israel versus Palestine conflict, where the Gen Z people, you know, not seeing the broader picture, the bigger picture, you know, and that may hurt Joe Biden, but I'm seeing that Joe Biden can get a second term.
In regards to the, you know, the Israel issue that you just mentioned, if President Biden tried to explain in simple terms as to why he did what he did and why they are doing what they're doing, and that he really mm-hmm. has no power except persuasion, possibly, you know, take away money and, you know, and guns and whatever else that, you know, we supply them with. Maybe that is the only that we have. And maybe if someone came out and explained that, you know, because it's kind of like a runaway train. You know, everyone, we saw what happened in Israel. Then we saw what's happening. We see what's happening in Gaza, all the people that are being killed on a daily basis, how it's been pulverized and destroyed by Israel. Mm-hmm. And we understand why Israel has done, you know, is doing that. But the rest of the story is not put together. They want to make, you know, Palestine and Israel a two-state option. And mm-hmm. so for that, I think if someone would just, in simple terms, they don't have to go into big detail, or maybe just have like a list and just say, you know, this is why Israel is doing this. This is what Gaza is all about, and try to explain why we cannot always get, you know, even though President Biden did say that he would support Israel, that we would support them no matter what. Maybe he didn't realize at that time that Israel was going to pulverize Gaza. I'm sure he mm-hmm. didn't have he didn't know that they were going to do that, you know, in all the people that are being killed and displaced. It's horrible. So maybe if someone just explains the situation and what they're trying to do in simple terms, maybe we can turn that around a little bit and people will understand and not be so hotbed about it, so upset about it, you know.
Yes.
Because even today, when President Biden was in South, I think he was in South Carolina today, when he was there and he made a speech, and there was there were protesters outside. It was a small group, and of course, you know, they wanted, of course, ceasefire now. Well, he can't just, you know, snap his fingers and tell them to stop firing and stop doing what they're doing, and they're not going to listen to him. So I don't know if that made sense, what I said, but that's kind of what I feel.
Our next thing to China is just itching to invade Taiwan. You know, the belief that Taiwan belongs with the mainland in China. And the United States, you know, is on the sea, what's the name of that place? The Red Sea, yes. It's in the air patrolling and everything. You know, so we're on alert there, and Russia is continuing to assault Ukraine, trying to take over Ukraine and rebuild the Soviet Empire. And, you know, let's look on it from perspective of Vladimir Putin and Russia. In 1989, when the Berlin Wall fell, you know, a deal was made between Gorbachev and Reagan, or was it Bush, one of them. And they say, hey, you know, if the Warsaw Pact fall apart, which it did, you know, you have to make us a promise that you won't invite the former Warsaw Alliance to join NATO. And it was a verbal agreement, no signing or anything in the documents. And so America went back on the word. And now, you know, border states of Russia joining or about to join NATO alliance. You know, so Russia sees us as a threat. But that don't give them any excuse, you know, to invade a sovereign country, you know. So, again, it's like, you know, my dick is bigger than yours, a dick measuring contest. And we all know that Vladimir Putin cannot be trusted. So when George W. Bush said, oh, looked into his soul. You know, when Donald Trump is he's a coward. When he's cowering when he met up with Putin, you know, you could see the body language between both men. You know, Trump have so many skeletons in his closet from the 1970s right through the 1990s that the Russian mafia helped him in terms of, you know, the money that was provided for him. To expand the Trump organization, you know, so they have some secrets for Donald Trump. And the reason, and the biggest thing is that secret document about Russia is missing. You know, if it were anybody else, they'd be in jail awaiting trial, you know, and more than that, be found guilty and spend years in prison. But no, we'll have Donald Trump running for president of the United States. That's so disheartening and sickening. You can see the two layers of the justice system where, oh, if you're rich and if you're influential and affluential and a former president, you can get away with anything. If you're a regular Joe Schmo, then you go in prison for years before you try to even come up. You know, so, you know, that's a challenge right there, and I hope the justice system moves quicker in condemning and finding them guilty of what he did and put them away for a long time. You know, and Republicans, if they're smart, you know, they'd nominate somebody else and, you know, for the survival of the Republican Party. But they won't because they're a cult and they're so caught up in supporting Donald Trump and his rubbish. You know, so we'll see how that play out in the coming months. 515-605-9802 is a number you call. Hello, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. Elaine, what's cooking?
Oh, nothing much. I just came aboard. I'll listen for a while. I'll probably jump in later.
Okay, cool. Yes, Nora, you're saying something.
Go back to the abortion. I was just going to go back to the abortion issue for a moment. You know, in 2022, you know, when the justices overturned Roe versus Wade, I just wonder if they understood, because they're supposed to be Supreme Court, and I would think that they're supposed to have, you know, really good thinking skills and problem-solving skills and all of that. And so when they overturned it, I often wonder, did they realize what they were doing? Did they really realize the turmoil that they would cause, the heartache that they would cause? I mean, did they really understand that? Or was it just because they are so-called Christian conservatives, or just conservatives, and conservatives believe in just pro-life and screw you the rest of the way? I mean, I would love to just talk to one of them and just ask them, do you realize what you've done to this country, just overturning Roe versus Wade? That thing.
The thing about it is it's not going to cut down abortion. Abortions will be there whether they have Roe versus Wade or not. But this is the access to safe abortions, you know? And it's going to go back to the 1960s and even before that, where women, the backdoor abortions, and it's botched, and they could get killed because there's a botched abortion, you know? And a doctor could lose his license or her license because of performing an abortion and everything. And what's more big government than the government trying to tell a woman what not to do with her own body, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just the Supreme Court knew what was going to happen, but it just didn't care because of political ideology, because of religious beliefs. Even during their testimony, during their hearings to the Supreme Court justices, Gorsuch and the woman, what's her name? I can't remember her name though. And Brent Kavanaugh.
I know.
To ask them point blank, hey, what do you think about Roe versus Wade? And all of them say, hey, you know, it's love and land. We're going to leave it alone. They lied. So should they be recalled? Mm-hmm. Is there a system for recall?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but, you know, it is what it is. And the only way to change this is if after the President of the United States, Joe Biden, get reelected, and we'll have a Democratic Congress majority in both the House and Senate, we can have an expansion of the Supreme Court. We're moving from 9 seats to 15 seats.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only logical way that, you know, we could get back Roe versus Wade as lost land.
Yeah.
Law land.
Yeah.
So that's my take.
I don't even know if they realize, like I said, you know, how many young people that, you know, young women, you know, that are looking at them thinking, who are you? What kind of people are you? You know, how dare you? Oh, I mean, try taking rights away from them and see if they'd like it. They wouldn't like it at all. They really, you know, and that's the part that irritates me, is that they didn't think the whole thing all the way through. I truly believe that they did not. And now we have this big mess all around the country. You know, Michigan right now, we're safe in Michigan, you know, pro-choice in Michigan, and we're okay with it because we're a blue state right now. But, you know, God forbid, in 26, if something goes wrong and we don't get, you know, another Democrat in as governor and et cetera, you know, what could happen in Michigan? You know, it could all be turned around and turn into Texas or you know, Idaho, for God's sake. You know, I mean, Idaho, look at what they just did there. The Supreme Court is allowing Idaho to enforce its strict abortion ban, even in medical emergencies. In other words, if you are pregnant and you have an emergency and maybe you're bleeding, and maybe you're going, you know, maybe you are in the middle of losing your baby, because that happens. That happens. Not every single pregnancy does not have a problem. A lot of them do have problems. And so you go to the emergency room And, I'm sorry, I can't take care of you. I can't get you an abortion, because if I give you an abortion, I will go to prison for possibly 5 years as a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell kind of country do we live in? A third world country?
Can I jump in right now? I just thought of something.
Yeah.
What happens if you go into the emergency room and you have a miscarriage and they're afraid to take care of the miscarriage for fear they're going to be accused of giving you an abortion?
Yes. I know. That's what I'm saying.
So then you end up bleeding out and you end up dying.
Yes. So what I'm trying to say is, my point is, the Supreme Court, I don't care how smart they think they are, they're stupid, because they didn't think about people in general and all the situations that you can have and during a pregnancy. They had no idea. They didn't research it. They didn't ask questions. They only thought about what they wanted in their small minds. And I would love to tell them off. Love it.
Yeah, added to which, in South Carolina, where Joe Biden is tonight, South Carolina, the legislature is Republican. They have a Republican governor, and they want to give the death penalty to any woman who have an abortion under any circumstances.
Yes.
That's so extreme.
Yes.
How can you be pro-life, and because somebody don't want their baby because of medical issues or because of incest and rape, they want to get rid of the baby, you want to kill them? That's not being pro-life. You know,
no.
You want to kill somebody because it's a life-saving
procedure. David, none of it is pro-life. None of it is pro-life. That's the whole thing that people have to understand. None of it is pro-life. Because
exactly.
If you're having a problem,
I am so pissed I can't even see straight. Dave, you keep on saying it's the millennials and the Gen Zs. It was the baby boomers that got the law passed in the first place. They fought tooth and nail to get it in the Constitution that you had a right to abortion. And now this far-right Supreme Court is bought and paid for by the Federalists. Now, who's the Federalists?
Yeah.
Our fascist right-wing part of the government. And so they do what they are told. That's all. They don't give a crap about the people. And you could bet damn sure those people with money take their wives or children or fly themselves to other states to get abortions. And what happened to also separation of church and state? The state has no – if you don't want an abortion, don't have it. But you have no right to tell me what to do.
Exactly.
So it's
coming
all
up in 2024.
It's all
coming up in 2024. Go ahead.
I was just going to say everything is twisted and upside down and wrong.
In 2024 coming up, groups are collecting signatures to let voters decide on ballot initiatives in Florida, Arizona, Nevada, Montana, Nebraska, South Dakota, Missouri, and Maryland. And in Maryland, New York, and Colorado, lawmakers who control amendment processes in those states have already succeeded in putting measures on the 2024 ballot that would enshrine abortion rights in those states' constitutions. So there is hope for people in these states. If women come out in droves, millennials, if Generation X, you know, all unite and come under one umbrella, not just for this abortion rights issue, but for other things that affect them, then we could get rid of these, fascist Republicans, these Trump Republicans.
Yeah.
You know, because...
Absolutely.
And the men should, too. It's their wives, their daughters, for Christ's sake. It's their lives. If you take your wife to the hospital, she's, you know, having a miscarriage or something and needs help. You want to see your wife die because of these assholes? I can't believe it. The men should fight for it, too.
Yeah. And that's why in the beginning of the show I mentioned some people are one-issue voters. So if your issue is abortion, you have to vote for Joe Biden and Democrats in Congress and in Senate, all the way down the ballot. Just vote for Democrats, because that way you have a better chance of having your pro-choice your pro-choice rights back, take back.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bottom line. So maybe that's what we have to do. Maybe we have to think about issues that are important to people, explain them, and maybe that's how we can get them to vote blue, vote Democrat. Mm-hmm. I mean, what else can we do in this?
One second.
David, finish what you were saying, and then Susan, and then Elaine.
Okay.
Okay, already conservative lawmakers, attorneys, and judges in states include Ohio, Kansas, Michigan. They're trying to implement initiatives that were passed through voting and they're proposing new anti-abortion bills and threatening lawsuits. So, you know, if and when those initiatives are passed through voting in the states that I called earlier, Florida, Arizona, Nevada, Montana, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Missouri, you know, you know, with those initiatives, you know, being voted yes by the citizens, then, you know, what can we do to fight conservatives who, you know, bring lawsuits? Because the people spoken, the people have spoken, and yet still want to bring lawsuits and change the laws and put some new laws, you know, to just curb and stop abortion. You know, how can we, like, get rid of people like that? It's just a waste of time and a waste of money, basically.
It is. Isn't that what's happening with Wisconsin? Isn't that what's happening there? Is it Wisconsin that they just voted in the last election, you know, the last couple months ago? And now they're trying to sue and everything because they voted pro, you know, more pro-choice. Put it in their constitution, or I should look it up.
It was Ohio.
It was Ohio.
Ohio and Kentucky.
It was Ohio. I remember. Okay. But I'm just saying, so then you have to fight. You have to fight another fight. And you just want to fight. And then you have to fight another fight because there's another court that's ready to take that case. And then there was another court. And then it ends up in the stupid-ass Supreme Court. Sorry, I'm just in a... And I'm sick of hearing these sad stories.
They packed the courts. The Federalists packed the courts. And and that's why we're fighting in the courts. And if we don't overturn the judicial, you know, the judges that are in there now, the far right ones that are going against what's right, we're going to lose.
Yeah, absolutely.
Word of caution.
You know,
we better vet our Democrats also. There are some Democrats out there that, when push comes to shove, are pro-life. So we had better vet our Democrats before the primary. If they're pro-life, find somebody else. Because we cannot trust who the Federalists or anybody else is reaching. They're even reaching into the Democratic Party, and don't think they aren't. Because they certainly are. They're bound and determined that they're going to control everybody. And they know that women are strong, and they have to step on us. But we're fighting back. And that's why I'm cautioning. Even if it's a Democrat, vet them. If they're pro-life, find somebody else.
Can you tell me why the government has the right to tell a woman what to do? They say, oh, we don't want the government, the Republicans say. But they come in your doctor's office with you. They come into the ER with you. And then, on top of that, they don't want to give you birth control. So then you do get pregnant. And they tell you, even if you're raped and you're a little kid, you got to have that baby. Why? Why do they have the power? They're not dictators. It should be a personal choice, not a government choice.
I got another bone to pick. This so-called HIPAA law. How are these politicians finding out that you had an abortion? I thought we had a HIPAA law that your medical procedures are private. Evidently, they aren't. So that HIPAA law is a joke.
Yeah, they probably have ways of getting around it, is my guess.
Because it's so-called
the government, because it's the government, you know, so they probably have their way of getting around it. But the HIPAA laws are to protect the patient's privacy, yes. That's what they
I know. You can have a nurse or even somebody who's mopping the floor see that somebody's getting an abortion and squeal on somebody. So what are you going to do?
Yep. Yeah. True. True. Yeah, it's just sad at a point, you know, this is 2023, and, you know, we've been set back 50, 60 years, and we have to fight for things that we shouldn't be fighting for, and for the young people, you know, it's just sad. It's not right. It's just not right.
It's 2023.
And we need to, the abortion rights, we should have medical care for everyone. Reasonable medical care, like and pharmaceuticals that are reasonably priced. My husband just got a new inhaler. It's $500 a month. The one he was on was $700 a month, just to breathe once a day.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. There's no reason. It doesn't cost that much. I mean, we know that insulin, you know, I go off on insulin, but insulin costs them $8 to make, and they charge $350, $450 a vial. That's a sin.
You know,
that should be against the law.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you can't afford that $500 or $700 a month, what do? You die.
Exactly.
You know, if you can't get help, you know, from the government, or if you can't get on Medicaid because, you know, maybe your income is a little bit above, then what do? You know, that's what's sad. These are the things that people should be voting for. You know, your health care. So if you want better health care, you know, then you vote for Democrat.
You know, we're all from we're from Italy and stuff and Europe, and you talk to your relatives over there, they get free daycare from the day the kid is born. They get free high school, college, books and all until they graduate. They get free health care and we're supposed to be the rich country, and yet they are taken care of until from the day they are born to the day they die. Why can't we be like that? What is the excuse except for
greed
by corporations and politicians?
And the healthcare system is about greed and making money. It's a for-profit business, unlike in Canada and UK and all across Europe, where, you know, from the day you're born to the day you die, you're taken care of.
Yep.
You know, so it's all about greed. So the next topic now is AI, artificial intelligence and deepfakes. I saw recently on YouTube this deepfake ad. Making Joe Biden look like a total fool. And, you know, it was a deep fake. And advancements in artificial intelligence and deep fake technology have grown exponentially in the past year. And the state legislatures haven't kept up. That lag has been especially clear as it pertains to bills that seek to tackle political deepfakes, legal potential threats unchecked heading into the presidential year. And in 2023, just three states enacted laws attempting to address AI effects on political campaigns. But a few pieces of legislation that are in place, some focus on disclosure, others on prohibition, are likely to serve as models for other states going forward. So do you think before the presidential election later on this year, Congress should act in terms of putting a disclaimer before deepfake artificial intelligence ads, you know, just inform people that, you know, it's a deepfake? Because they haven't done anything. This is the worst Congress since FDR days. You know, do you think, they'll implement something before the election?
I do not think they will, because, like you said, they've done nothing. The only thing that they wanted to do is get rid of Joe Biden and Hunter Biden mm-hmm. and, you know, just cause chaos. They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And AI is actually AI scares me. I'll be honest. It does scare me. And the reason it scares me is because I know that if it's not controlled in a way that so it can be identified, I mean,
mm-hmm.
you can do so much harm with it that,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you talk about brainwashing. Come on. That would be perfect for that. You know, so
I think they did it during the last election, China and Russia, for Trump to get elected, because there definitely was proof that Russia interfered. And how did they do that? Through AI.
Yeah, and added to which, women out there are having a problem where if you break up with your husband and get a divorce, or you get break up with a boyfriend, the artificial intelligence, he could put you in a porno thing. You know, it's not you, but your face is imposed on it. You know, things like that happen. It's only California that I know of where it's a federal offense to do that, you know. So we need to get the ball rolling in terms of, you know, making sure AI, you know, is like catching sick and everything. 515-605-9802. Eric from Michigan. Hello.
Hey, everybody. I'm back.
Hi, Eric. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everybody here. David, Lori, Susie. Is Elaine here?
I'm here.
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody's here. Do we have more?
Just us.
I know I took a little bit of a an absence for a while. I mean, I know it's been at least a month since I've been on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I'm still glad to be a regular here and occasional co-host of the show. Anybody who listens, thanks for having me here. I do know that before we get into the other things, I do want to say that so it's a new year, which means we have new energy. The goals are still the same. We have to reelect Biden Harris. We have to reelect all our Democratic governors, reelect all our Democratic Congress people and gain more seats in Congress. We need to flip at least 10 seats in the Senate if we can. And I will be there's a number of things that have popped up with me recently between the, you know, just working massive overtime at work and just other things that have happened. I've had a few losses, sorry to say. But I will release that 20-state strategy, and I do stick by that. And as I remind people, the battleground states are the most important between Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Minnesota. And like I said, even some red states that have a chance of leaning blue or like some middle-of-the-ground states like Texas, which is slowly but surely changing the demographics. That's why Beto O'Rourke had almost won twice down there. Even Florida, Georgia, a few others, Kentucky, both Virginias, both Carolinas. So we're definitely I'm definitely going to be putting the team together. I've recently got email contact to CNN contributor and Democratic strategist Nayera Hack. I'll be reaching out to her soon. I'll be reaching out to Maria Cardonos, and there's a number of them that I will be reaching out to because we have to implement this strategy, and even if we don't make it at the end, the effort means everything, so we can still say that we, you know, have done all that we can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have to at least.
But there's
and,
a number of
you know,
things
what
that we have to push people on. It's not just about the voters. We got to push the top Democratic officials and politicians to do things that are going to boost their ratings.
Hey, so Eric, listen, in 2023, go ahead, Lori. I can ask a question afterwards.
That's right. I'll wait. I'll ask after. It's okay.
Okay, so in 2023, lawmakers in some states attempted to address worker shortage by becoming by loosening child labor laws, places like Arkansas, Nebraska, Kansas. You know, how can we, you know, make that right? You know, because, you know, kids want to go to school, just fall asleep because they're working overnight and at slave wages, not even minimum wage. You know, with a Democratic Congress, do you think, you know, we could, like, you know, tighten up the child labor laws that Republicans have loosened? Because this is like a travesty.
Yeah.
It's basically slavery, modern-day slavery for children.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. Yes.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing that I say about that. And, of course, we know that the other party doesn't care about, you know, how young the child works and everything. Listen, I've taken the time to look up the pros and cons of the child labor laws, and I will say that some pros, the main pro I would say of it is, okay, I get it. If they work at a younger age, that brings in more money to the family, support the household, whatnot. On the other end, it's like I personally still believe that it depends on the job that they're doing, certain ones. And, you know, the thing that gets me is you have a lot of centrist or center right or anything to the right of center voters who will complain mm-hmm. that a lot of these laws are either being put in place or attempted to be put in place. But it's our responsibility to remind those people, hey, the people that you supported and voted for, this is what they want. And none of our people have said anything like this. I mean, we didn't Obama or Hillary or Biden or anybody that we supported and voted for, we didn't advocate none of this. Democratic governors that we support, like Whitmer and Newsom and Pritzker and all them, Laura Kelly, it's just not our thing. Now, as far as anybody will sit there and tell you, yeah, we still believe that young teens could be able to work at McDonald's part-time or the fast food place or, you know, places like that, the Wendy's, the Taco Bell. But I do think there has to be more emphasis put on here's why we don't exactly want child labor laws at these age. And, of course, when they start bringing into the discussion of, well, what's the barrier, what's the boundary, what's the limit as far as the age bracket, that's something that we would have to figure out too. And yes, of course, if anything that we know that our Republican Congress is working on doing, we have to pretty much essentially do the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, mm-hmm. this is it. I have no problem if a young, you know, a young teenager, what is it, 14, they can start working, and they can only work in Michigan. They can only work so many hours. It's like maybe 8 hours a week or something like that. So
yeah.
No problem with that because, you know, it's teaching them also responsibility. It gets them out in the world. I mean, there are some very, very positive things that can happen when a young person has some responsibility in that. But then the other side of the coin is when you have these young, you know, children or teenagers working, and they're working midnight, and they're working 40 hours a week, and they're working in these slave places of employment because they're, you know, where they process meat and things like that, and it's dangerous for them, and it's dirty. And
it's the labor laws, the child labor laws. They're breaking the law by hiring kids to do that. It's dangerous.
Right. Exactly. But they're trying to, you know, loosen these child labor laws. And in that case, that's not a good thing. It is not a good thing for a child, you know, to have to work midnights or afternoons or after school until 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, and they get up at, you know, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning to go to work, to go to school all day long to go back to work. You know, it's just not right.
Yep.
And if they're trying to do that, that absolutely, that's wrong. That is wrong. And I would never stand for that. It's wrong.
They were caught in the Kia plants in Eufaula, Alabama. They
mm-hmm.
caught the underage children in the foreign auto plants that have decided to come here and do assembly. And
mm-hmm.
they were working these kids. They were under 16, and they were working these kids in the auto plant. So they're doing it. And the excuse mm-hmm. that the floor manager gave was, "Well, we do it in China."
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Here's the other thing that I want to emphasize too, right quick, on the side of that, because I know I've always said we need to follow in the footsteps of some of these top Democratic leaders like Whitmer, Newsom. Here's the other thing too. Aside from the Democratic Party having to invest into a marketing firm so we can better put our message out there, and on top of doing good policies, I would say the two states that we best have to follow, aside from Michigan and California, are Minnesota and Massachusetts. Now, the state of Massachusetts did a thing that when they did the universal free school meals for the kids. They did that by doing a 4% millionaire's tax, and as a result, they were able to not only get free lunches for the kids in schools, they were able to do free community college for people of a certain age, you know, between 21 and 26 or something like that. They were able to fix more roads out there, build better infrastructure. When people sit there and ask, well, how is it going to get paid for it? There's your answer right there. And that's the only way to go about that, and the only way to go about it is by electing real Democrats, real liberals, real left-wingers. A lot of that just hasn't got done under Republican leadership. I think Minnesota is even a better example to follow because I think the Democrats of Minnesota, they only have a one-seat Democrat majority, and as a result, they were able to get universal free school meals along with legalized marijuana, along with tax rebates for the working class up to $1,300 if the family makes under $150K a year, $2.2 billion increase in K-12 school funding, as well as red flag laws for guns and public free college if you make under $80K. I said, this is what happens when you do have Democratic leadership locally. So people have to understand when you expand that, we can get more of those things. And so that's what we have to work on emphasizing. And if the other side tries to argue that, just ask them, well, how well has it worked out in red states? How's that working out in Mississippi or Alabama or anything like that? So another way to put those messages out there is to point out those things, which I will be talking about in upcoming videos.
Yes, oh, and yeah, Arkansas sure. Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders signed a law this week rolling back requirements that the state verify the ages of workers under 16 and provide them with work certificates permitting them to work. So this is another thing Republicans are doing, where they're changing the law. Effectively, the new law signed by the Republican governor in Arkansas applies to those who are 14 and 15 years old, because in most cases, Arkansas businesses can't employ those under 14 years old. So under this new Youth Hiring Act of 2023, children under 16 don't have to get the Division of Labor's permission to be employed. And the state also no longer have to verify the age of those under 16 before they take a job. The law doesn't change the hours or kinds of jobs kids can work, and the governor believes protecting kids is the most important, but this permit was an arbitrary burden on parents to get permission from the government for the child to get the job. That's what the communications director, Alexa Henning, said. In a statement to NPR, and I quote, all child labor laws that actually protect children will apply, and we expect businesses to comply just as they are required to do now. So, you know, it's like they're finding a loophole in this where,
Roosevelt put those laws in place because they had those kids working in the coal mines and everything during the Depression and stuff because they were starving to death, and he made it a law that the kids can't work under 16, and especially in dangerous conditions. It's on a national level. It isn't as up to the states. This is a federal law. So I don't understand how stupid What's-Her-Face could change it in her Arkansas, you know? It's a federal law. You got to protect the kids. If they're so hard up for workers, why don't they hire some of these immigrants that are coming into the United States to do those kind of jobs?
Exactly.
That's the thing. It's a murder, don't you know?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, these vulnerable youths is up for exploitation.
Federal laws to be obeyed when you have Republicans in power. You can have a Democratic president and you've got the Republicans running the show. That's our problem. People don't understand that.
I know. I just heard, you know, when they were talking about the budget, right, the national budget, that they thought they had maybe a deal. The far-right guys came out and said, no, we're going to close down the government because they can't. What crap is that?
Exactly. And also in Iowa and Minnesota, you know, these bills are coming up where It would allow teenagers to work in meatpacking plants and construction. And New Jersey expanded their teen working hours in 2022. So it's exploitation, basically. They don't want to raise the minimum wage, you know, but they want to exploit children, vulnerable children, you know. And it's mainly Republicans are doing it, and that's why they have to go. They have to leave office once we vote them out because they don't care about American children. I'm sorry. And bills are occurring alongside a rising tide in mining.
You know what they need to do when that happens is to really publicize that company that hires those kids and show them what shitheads they are, to hire young kids doing dangerous jobs in long hours when they should be studying in school. And it should be on every news channel. It should be all over the newspapers. It should be all over the internet. And say, look this packing plant, what they're doing. How dare you? We won't buy your stuff anymore because you're treating kids like slaves. That's
it's a violation of child labor laws. You know, that's what Elaine was saying.
Danger. I mean, they can lose limbs and, you know, get hurt really bad. Not to mention they're not getting their education, their rest. They're too damn tired to study and do their homework, for Christ's sake. That's not right.
Yeah, because last month, for example, Packard Sanitation Services paid a whopping $1.5 million fine, the maximum amount, for employing 102 children to work in the dangerous meatpacking facility jobs. And this happened, you know, the Labor Department found hundreds of employed children in these dangerous meatpacking plants. You know, so, I mean, what is $1.5 million fine?
Not even just fine them and, you know, and forbid them to do this. They need to publicize it so the public knows. Do you want your kids working there? Do you want your grandkids in there? You know, your neighbor kids in there getting hurt? And, you know, something horrible can happen, plus they're not getting an education.
Yeah.
I would go one
the media should be stepping up.
Yes, the media, but one step further than that, they should make them close down for a month. Who cares? If they can afford to pay those $1 million fines, let them be closed for a month and make them pay their employees while they're closed for a month. That's what I would make them do.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It's got to be something that hurts them. What's $1 million to these meat packing plants? Probably nothing.
No, they're billion-dollar plants, and they're monopolies now, too. They're all that's how they can charge all these ridiculous prices, and then everybody said, oh, it's so expensive. Yeah, because they're allowed to do it, not because they have to. It's because they want to.
But you know, like I said, keep in mind what's going on. You know, is it the 2024 plan, the dictatorship? They're going to eliminate the Department of Education? I'll bet you right behind that would be the Department of Labor. And you might as well go down the list. They'll eliminate everything. It will be a complete dictatorship. This is what the people have to understand what's going on. It might be a national law now, but if the Republicans get back in, both President and House and Senate, we can give it up. There will be no laws.
No, it'll be a dictatorship.
And it's called Project 2025 is what it's called. Project 2025. You can Google it, and it's on our website, too.
Well, and you know what? Here's the conclusion. Here's the conclusion that I've reached, or this is the feeling I've reached, so to say. Now, I'll tell you this. As one of you had just pointed out a few minutes ago, the problem with the media is that more and more people on the left are starting to grow ticked off at them because their only thing is, for as important as it is to cover the corruption and the controversies and the scandals and everything that goes on around Trump, it's like, yeah, it's important to emphasize that people need to know how bad he is and how corrupt and crooked he is. But if that's all they run and they're not really diving into depth about the things that he did bad during his presidency and just the things outside his presidency, unfortunately, people see that as, well, they're giving him all the attention. And then, you know, this is the same mistake we made in 2016. And unfortunately, a lot of us didn't realize it until it was too late. And here's what I feel. then there's two things that I feel about this. Number one, if he happens to be lucky enough to avoid jail time and to slip back into the White House, then I'm going to actually question if I even would continue to watch CNN and MSNBC after that, because they're mainly responsible for his political rise and getting him to the point that he was at and putting him back there again. And now the other thing that I have is this, and I know that many Democrats have already disagreed with me on this, and there's been some disagreement on the show along right here. Susie, I don't know if you heard me say this one before, but I told the others this. If by any chance Trump is lucky enough to get back to the White House, for as bad and disastrous as his first presidency was, and for as bad and disastrous and arguably worse that his second term would be, I would have no choice but to sit back and, for all the people who voted for him because they thought that he was the right choice, and let's say he starts doing these things, that Project 2025, you know, cutting the Medicare, cutting the Medicaid, cutting the Social Security, giving the death penalty to drug lifters and shoplifters, or drug users and shoplifters, drug dealers, advocating to execute General Milley. If he goes about those things, for as much sympathy as I'd normally would like to feel on a lot of that, there's a part of me that says that I'm exercising an accelerationist theory, which means, okay, well, apparently this has to get worse for it to get better. I feel like this is just a way for people to learn a really hard-ass lesson as far as this is why we told you he was bad, and now you see it for yourself. I mean, I don't know. What do you think of that theory, Susie?
I hope it doesn't get to that point. I really don't. I hope people realize it. But, yeah, it's like, I told you so, you dumbass. Why didn't you listen? Right?
Yeah.
Well,
and the same thing happened with the
I mean, I understand your point, Eric. I do understand your point. But then again, it's 4 long years. It's not like it would be, unless we can impeach him and get him the hell out of there. I mean, really, it's 4 long years. And, you know, health care, Medicaid, I mean, people that are sick. I mean, there's so much that will be destroyed. It'll take probably 20 years to get it back together again, you know, because he wants to get rid of Obamacare. You know, he wants to, of course, he's now, you know, he's anti-abortion. I get so mad when I think about him, I lose my train of thought. But he's just, we know what he's going to do. We know that he's capable of doing it. Not because he's smart enough, because like the Federal Society and also all these other conservative groups that have all come together in a think tank and have put Project 2025 together, all he'll have to do is say, yes, go for it, people. I've got you all in place now. Go for it. Let's do it.
Yeah,
I want my
because there's big corporations, and it's all about the money and the power. That's all it is,
yeah,
money and power. Screw the people.
That's the part that scares me, because there's people that are sick, and
that
they will be, they'll die, you know. That's the
problem. I can agree with most of that, and most of that does make sense. And, you know, I guess, and like I said, me and David, we've talked about it a little bit before. I think I brought it up a little bit to you, Elaine. I guess here's a question right quick, David, or somebody else speak. So, Elaine, I had brought this up to you before. There were some points on both sides where, okay, I understand that, you know, like with you and like others in your generation, you've seen, you know, Nixon, Ford, Reagan, the Bushes, and now we got the Trump. Do you believe that one of these things would happen? If Trump is lucky enough to get a second term and he's lucky enough to avoid jail time and get rid of all the indictments or prosecutions, whatever, do you think that it's going to take another Trump term for as bad and horrible as he is? Do you think that that's another thing that's basically going to give people the ass whooping to wake up and to really see, like, this is why we shouldn't be doing this? Like, do you think if it gets to that point, will that wake more people up?
The problem, Eric, is that he will eliminate elections. That is the problem. He will eliminate elections. It will be a true dictatorship, and we will end up fighting in the street. And I really, my gut tells me that would take a hell of a lot longer than 4 years. I think it would take about 20, 25 years.
And by the way, And by the way, I don't want any of this to get twisted. I don't want anybody thinking that I'm saying that I would rather Trump get rid of
the whole. I know what you're saying. What? You're doing the worst case scenario. I'm also doing the worst case scenario. If he gets back in, I'm dead serious on how I feel about it. If he gets back in, we don't have a choice. We will not be able to vote.
And
he is
going
to have control from the top to the bottom.
Yeah, and I'm still on Team Biden-Harris 100%, no doubt about it. And I'm just saying that for as hard as I'm going to try, all of us here are trying to reelect President Biden and Vice President Harris, which obviously I hope is the best case scenario, and I hope we do that. I'm just saying
that's all the way down the ticket. All the way down the ticket.
We told you so.
All the way down the ticket. That's why I jumped in a couple times and said, if you know of a Democratic candidate that is for a Republican issue, vet them and get them out. Get somebody else to run.
Do you think Trump is intelligent enough to be a dictator? Yeah. He'll just be a pawn.
A figurehead.
I don't think he's intelligent.
You know what? Here's the best way that here's how I can answer that question. This is what I think about that. We have to remember this. In order to be something like that, it's not that you have to be highly intelligent. Like even Bill Maher pointed out a few years ago when he was debating Ben Shapiro on the whole Trump-Russia thing, that it's like you can be just smart enough to where you have a base of people who are not as intelligent as you, so it's easy to fool them. And you can also be crazy and ignorant, just like Hitler was, where he believed in things and then he got a base of people to believe it. It's not that he has to be intelligent to do that. It's just that he has to do exactly what he said. Back in People magazine, back in 1998 or 99, when Trump said, if I ever run for president, I will run as a Republican because they tell the dumbest lies and the dumbest people will eat it up. Unfortunately, that's the one thing he said at the time turned out to be true, and we saw that. And so all he has to do is convince the MAGA people that what he's saying is right, and half the stuff that he says he knows is wrong, but he plays on that. So in that particular regard, he would have to just have a White House full of people who – and like I said, the only difference between his presidency versus, like, the Bush presidency is both of them were crooked and both of them were filled with people who are racist and bigoted and whatnot. The difference is with Bush, he was a dummy, but the rest of his cabinet were smart people, and they knew what they were doing. Whereas the Trump White House, Trump is ignorant, and he has a White House full of people who are also ignorant. So he's basically going to need a team of people to do that. And so whatever destruction gets done, it's not just on him. It's on everybody in that cabinet. So even if he puts back somebody like Betsy DeVos, education is screwed. He puts back Scott Pruitt or Steve Mnuchin. The Treasury is screwed. The EPA is screwed. All these other people that he had back up in there, Mike Pompeo and all these people, regardless of who his vice president would be, whether it's Nikki Haley or whoever, that it would take that. So I think that he's just smart enough to fool the people who voted for him and the people who like him, but a lot of the other people would be able to see if I do that. And if it happens, like Elaine and Susie, like you said, we'll be the ones saying, I told you so, and this is why we told you he was bad. And that's why we urged you to vote against him. So that's what I see in that.
And the whole world is watching, and the whole world is afraid. Because if we go under, a lot of other ones are going under. They're having the same far-right bullshit in so many countries, Italy and South America and, there's so many of them. You know, it's ridiculous that they're flipping right now. We got a problem. Yeah. It's going to be World War II all over again.
You know,
it's
going to
be World War III.
I know, but you know what I mean, but the Nazis and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and President Biden, in his speech last week, did say that, you know, he has been all around the world. He's been to Europe. He's been, you know, all around to Ukraine, et cetera. And all of them have said to him, please, please, you can't Trump become president. I mean, they know the stakes of this country. They know what can happen. you have other foreign leaders that understand, that know what, how democracy will die in America. And if it dies in America, Susie's right. It'll just be a domino effect around the world. It will. You know, mm-hmm. So, you know, we have to emphasize the things that maybe are important to people that they can relate to, and explain those things, and maybe they will vote for, you know, Democrat for that reason, for one issue. Let's say it's abortion. Let's say it's gun control. Let's say it's climate change. You know, let's find the issues that are important to people and then mm-hmm. work on those issues, explain the issues, and maybe we can get more people to vote Democrat time around that maybe wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, someone that, you know, kind of leaning, they're, you know, they're not a start, you know, they're, you know, maybe sometimes they vote Democrat, sometimes they vote Republican, you know, whatever. I'm just saying, maybe we can get those people to vote Democrat just for the reason of the issues, a few issues that may be important
and,
to people.
And like Johnson and all those assholes aren't going to do the budget. And Ukraine right now is having all kinds of trouble. It's in the middle of winter, and they don't have the equipment. And they just got bombarded with a bunch of missiles from Russia, and they had nothing to fight back with. They only knocked down a few of the missiles, where normally they get them all, but they're running low on ammunition. And those idiots, well, what, you want the United States to go in there and fight then? We got to do that? Let them do it. Give them the, machine guns and, you know, missiles and shit they need instead.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's because of the border. Well, they haven't done a goddamn thing about the border during Trump either. Build a stupid wall. It didn't do a damn thing, did it?
No.
Well,
it
didn't build a wall. It built parts of the wall and breeze blow and blow it down and it rotting and what have you. So that's millions of dollars.
And they got little torches and cutting holes in it, for Christ's sake.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, duh.
Yeah.
How stupid were they?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, they should have had, you know, more judges, more people. You know, you file in your country, and then you come in an orderly fashion, in a quicker fashion, instead of having people come to the gates and just run over everything. I mean, it's so stupid,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm,
and the Republicans
mm-hmm.
haven't done a damn thing about it, and they won't allow anything to be done about it because that's one of their things. They said, oh, look what
mm-hmm.
the Democrats did. They didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can't pass laws on one side. You know, it takes both sides.
No.
And budgets take both sides. So now they're going to come in and shut down the government. Everybody that's
mm-hmm.
working, all the soldiers won't get a paycheck. What the hell?
Yeah. You know, I'm worried about the election coming up in November 2024, because this rising political violence and the white supremacy movement across the country,
mm-hmm.
You know, they're intimidating people. And just today, President Biden denounced white supremacy and political violence in a direct message to black voters during his South Carolina visit. And he was speaking to a church, and it was aimed at shoring up critical constituents whose support has waned since he took office. I don't know why, because he's done such a fantastic job. Biden spoke
mm-hmm.
from the pulpit of the historic Mother Emanuel AME Church in Charleston, where avowed white supremacist Dylan Roof gunned down 9 black parishioners in 2015. So the Democratic president continued to sharpen his attacks on former President Donald Trump, the frontrunner for the Republican Party's 2024 nomination, while hailing his administration's efforts to reduce inflation. He's done a good job. Inflation is down 2.7%. Drive black unemployment down, which has done a good job, and combat housing discrimination. Red lines still exists in this day and age. So describing the 2015 attack at a church, Biden said, and I quote, "The word of God was pierced by bullets of hate and rage propelled by not just gunpowder, but by poison, poison that has too long haunted this nation. And what is this poison? White supremacy. How can we get the message out there for people not to be intimidated you know, not to be like when in the lines, the set up, the made law saying if you leave the line to go to the bathroom or eat something, then you're not allowed to join by the line. That happened in Georgia, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can we combat white supremacy?
Good question. I wish I had an answer.
You know, the only here's what I think about that. I would say, as far as how to combat it in terms of the people being so having the guts to show it out there, and I know people make the argument to say, well, this infringes upon First Amendment, which is freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of religion. Well, it also, those type of things also infringe upon like people's safety and their peacefulness. And the way we do that is we just got to continue voting more of those people out of office. So a lot of the MAGA people in our government who are embracing and or supporting, whether it be directly or indirectly, the whole white supremacy Nazi aspect, you know, Marjorie Greene, Lauren Boebert, Matt Gaetz, Jim Jordan, we just got to vote people like them out. We got to make them feel less and less comfortable. Not advocate violence against them by and this goes kind of to what Michelle Obama said in terms of they go low, we go high. In a sense, yes, because it's going high in the sense that we outdo them with not just the kindness aspect, but as far as intelligence, outdoing them in terms of letting the public know, here are the policies that we put out for you, and here's what we tried to do for you, and here's what they put out and what they were trying to do to you or against you. We got to let them know.
Exactly.
These people are not, they're not going to take over the country, and by doing that, the only thing that's going to allow that to happen is complacency. And if people just assume that Biden is going to win, just like they assumed that Hillary was going to win, because they assumed Al Gore or John Kerry was going to win, people actually have to get up from the couch and go vote. And that's the only way to make it heard. And if people don't do that, then, like you said, we're screwed. So, I mean, that's the closest answer after that. Yeah.
We got to get the word out. That's the problem, and it isn't getting out, all the stuff that Biden did and is doing. We got the best economy in the frickin' world. It has been that good since the day he started. We got unemployment is like zero, and everything is looking good. Interest rates are coming down. Prices are coming down. Gas is cheap. And drill, baby, drill, he's drilling more oil, so what the hell, you know? And it's not getting out. The other side is brainwashed. They watch their media. They watch Fox. They watch those things, and it feeds their stupidity. That's all I can say. It's stupid. They don't look at real news. They look at bullshit. And how do you fight stupidity? That's my problem. How do we get out there and shake them and say, look, what's really happening? Look.
You know, here's the other thing about it, too. And I've been going around and even just driving to and from work and even going to some other places. And people still argue and complain about the gas prices. Listen, here's the deal. If you look at what gas prices were even in Wayne County alone back in late 2021 going into 22, and then, like, compare that to now. Gas prices back then were, what, at least $5 a gallon or close to it or just above it. I'm looking at a lot of these prices right here, and I've taken pictures of these prices while I've been at these gas stations. I saw one of them that was as low as $2.68. There was $2.65, $2.64. The lowest one that I've seen, there's a couple of them by my house, by where I live at. The lowest gas price that I have seen recently is $2.54. This looks amazing compared to anything that I thought it would be, and I would say, hey, if gas was in between $2.60 to $2.90, that'd be great. It's down to $2.54. Now,
it's $2.84 in vacation land up here. It was down lower, just went up a 20 cents, but it was lower. It was $2.70-something, and now they're back up to $2.84 today. But, it's a lot better. What's the matter with these people? But they don't realize what he's doing and then what the corporations are doing by keeping prices high, like your potato chips and snacks. The packages are smaller, and you're paying the same or more than you did before the shipment problem when the virus started. So this is all crap, and, you know, it's just how do you, they all blame Biden because he's in he can't control the prices. How does he control prices? He's not a dictator.
Well, here's another thing that we have to remind people about. We also have to remind people about in 2022, before the midterm, was it before the midterm? No, I think it was even a little after the midterms, where they actually were going to initiate a bill in Congress where it was going to fight against, you know, price gouging and lowering the gas prices. We were trying to lower the gas prices and lower the cost of goods in stores. Republicans voted against that. People like Marjorie Greene will go up in front of the Congress and say that we need baby formula. We have a shortage of baby formula in the country. And then what do the Democrats do? They initiate a bill that says, okay, then fine, let's invest money into getting baby formula. And then what does she do and every Republican do? They vote against it. And so I keep telling people, mm-hmm. I'm like, this is not an argument to paint one side is always all good and the other side is always all bad. But when it comes to basic issues and basic things that the average human being cares about, between that or gas price or grocery price or healthcare, education, these are the things that your party has voted against. And I tell people, if you don't believe me, look at the websites, go on government.org or look on the .gov websites and look at the records, see how these people voted. And if they want to keep asking me, well, you got to look at the other side and understand their perspective and understand why they voted against it or why they voted for it. Here's the thing. These people are elected to government. The responsibility does not fall on me to try to dig through every last thing to find out every last reason why people did a vote. These are the people who got elected to Congress and to the Senate. It's their responsibility to explain to the people who elected them why they voted this way. And if they're not doing that, that makes it vulnerable for them and we get to come out and say, hey, they're not even telling you why they voted against capping the cost of insulin at $35 a month. They're not telling you why they voted against the American Rescue Plan Act or why they voted against the COVID relief package or the CHIPS Act, which brought back 800,000 manufacturing jobs. Or they were against
Infrastructure Act.
200,000 workers getting, construction workers getting a pay raise, or why they were against the union workers or the UAW workers. They're not telling you why they were against that. The Democrats are coming out and saying, we support these things. And so more and more voters are kind of seeing that, but then a lot of them aren't. We just have to keep putting that in people's ear. And as long as the Republicans don't explain why they're doing what they're doing, they're killing themselves. And as long as they don't explain, I'm kind of okay with that, if that helps us.
Eric, we've got to do something about social media. There's too much lies on social media. And I really don't know what the answer is, except I put posts out daily to the point where I am getting tired of doing it. Nobody shares a post. I keep putting the truth. I have footnotes to prove it's true. It's factual. They don't get shared. I go on the different media sites, and I see one lie after another. When the Republicans vote against the bill, they come out with a nice slicky video that the Democrats are communists. This is why they voted against it, and that video is played over and over and over. Their people share it. We don't.
Well, the other thing is, Elaine, what we have to remember is, you know, you're talking about, I'm sure that's what you're talking about. And
well, I've been venturing out. I've been going, what I've been doing is when I go surfing, I'm able to get on these other social media sites haphazardly because I don't know that much about the computer, but I start hitting their posts. They're, you know, what's been posted to them. And I'm getting on TikTok, and I'm getting on all those other medias, and it's one lousy, rotten, videoed lie after another.
Yes.
It's not
and
just
the thing is that
you know what? Here's what I say to this. You can only combat, Elaine, to go to what you said, as far as how to combat the stupidity, how to combat the MAGA mentality, there's only a little bit of an answer to that, and it's only because you can combat it a little bit, and then once if they choose to continue going down the path they go down, all you have to do is let them, because only so many people want to be helped to a degree. Some people don't want to be helped at all. And here's the thing. It almost reminds me of, like, that I hate to make this comparison because I know it's – I don't try to sound insensitive, but it's almost like that show Intervention where you had these people that were addicted to certain things, and a lot of them try to get help, but it's a lot of them that don't, and it's like you kind of just feel mixed thoughts about some of them. When I tell people, here's what Biden and Harris and the Democrats have done or attempted to do, and here's how the Republicans voted against it. Aside from that, to go back to what you said as far as they keep saying Biden is a communist and that he's spending too much money and he gave everything away for free. Okay, well, my question to those people is, what exactly did he give away for free? Did he do free health care? I didn't see that. Did he do free college? He attempted to do free community college, but Republicans voted against it. Did he do, I mean, do what? We have free Social Security or free Medicare or Medicaid? I don't see any of that. So if they want to sit there and say this is what he gave that was free, all we can sit back and say is, okay, fine, I could be wrong. You can show me. And then see what they show you. They're not going to show you anything. They're going to write their own lies. So the whole point is this.
Eric, they show you a doctored up video where the immigrants are getting $200 a night rooms in fancy hotels for free. These are doctored up videos.
Yep.
How do we combat that?
Facebook.
They said immigrants
are getting free hotels.
Wait, hold on. They said, what about the immigrants? They said they were getting free hotels.
It's up to Facebook. You can't combat it, Elaine. You cannot combat it. The reason you can't combat it is because Facebook doesn't do anything about it.
No, this was on TikTok.
Well, TikTok is not far from it, and Instagram is also owned by, you know, Zuckerberg, same thing. I don't know who owns TikTok.
Isn't TikTok Chinese?
TikTok isn't Chinese.
Instead of reading a newspaper, instead of getting the news off your TV, everybody is saddled to a. You've got to take some sort of third party to plug in your TV to get it to work. And then you have to take special programming to be able to get other channels. There's a lot of people can't afford it, and all they have is social media.
That's right.
Regulation. We'll have to regulate social media because tons of lies being said daily on social media.
We've got an election coming up in November. That's a few short months away. What do we do in the meantime?
Well, you know what?
I am terrified on this end.
Wait, hold on a second. Let me just say this right quick. This is why I have mixed thoughts. And, again, there might be some agreement here. There might be some disagreement. Here's my mixed thoughts on the whole thing. As far as how to regulate social media or as how does social media is it more beneficial? Is it more disadvantageous? I'm kind of in the middle because, on one hand, yes, I agree that it's easy to spread misinformation, just like it's just as easy to spread misinformation about something political, about people saying that whether it's Biden or Trump or Democrats, Republicans, whatever. It's about as easy as a high school or middle school student spreading a rumor about somebody else and people get it to believe it. And there's going to be a lot of jackass out there. People are going to be dumb enough to believe it. But on the other hand, I mean, I'm sorry, this is kind of a way that me and others who promote our democratic politics, that this is our platform that we use to promote and spread the message about the success of the Biden-Harris administration as well as the success of other Democrats. So I don't know that I have an answer or solution on that one. I mean, I don't know what other ideas anybody else might have. We just got to do our best to promote the Democrats that we're supporting, and we got to do our best to just win these elections on all levels.
I'm trying to tell you that I am terrified.
Listen, I got to be honest with you. I know I don't sound like it, but trust me, I am a bit fearful and a little bit terrified and nervous about where this election could go to a certain degree. Now, to the degree that I'm not as terrified, it's only because, as we had pointed out, we've seen, I mean, well, of course, I didn't see, I wasn't born at the time, but between Nixon, Ford, Reagan, going up to the Bushes, and now we have Trump, I don't know how much worse it's going to get. And again, I just feel that we got this far, we got to this point, and I just feel that the only positive result, and I hope it doesn't have to get to this point, if it gets to a point where Trump is lucky enough to get reelected, and he and the MAGA Republicans go through with a lot of the things they say they want to do, it's the only way that I can look at the people who voted for them, and now it reminds me of when he did the Tax Cuts Act and it affected people, and I look at those people and I say, well, this is we tried to tell you that he wasn't really a populist, or that he wasn't really a successful business person that he said he was, and that he wasn't really going against the actions and the policies of the establishment. He might have spoken the language against it, but really he's just another Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, George Bush. I keep trying to tell people he's just not the one. And if he gets back in there, I'll just tell people, if he screws you up, then that's on you. And I know that that's on a lot of the country. We just have to continue to promote our messages, what we have out there. And I would just say ignore the dummies on social media. I've had to block and unfriend people because they're writing too much stuff about anti-Obama, anti-Hillary, anti-Bernie, anti-Biden, whoever it may be, and just continue to connect with the groups who are promoting Biden-Harris, and then we can do our best to go forward from there.
I mean, Eric, you're right, because Facebook, number one, is not going to do anything. Instagram is not going to do anything because it's making them money. That makes them money, and that's the bottom line. So you just have to try, and you can, you know, post all you want. If people do not care enough to share that post, it's on them. It's not on you, Elaine. It's on them. So, you know, it's just a matter of just maybe just us trying to focus on positive things so that people will understand that you have to vote Democrat. If you don't want to vote Democrat the next election, don't do it. Don't ever vote it again. But this time, it's a matter of saving our democracy. That's how we have to put it, and that's how it actually is. We have to save our democracy. And the rest of the world is watching, and the rest of the world is looking at us and saying, please save your democracy. And that's what we have to do. Some way,
which is also saving your life. It's saving your insurance, your Social Security, and saving your kids from being in child labor dangerous jobs. And it's saving our lives.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's a democracy, but it's saving our lives, really. People don't understand that. You know, if they take away our Social Security, Medicare, and Medigap, and you know, the
Medicaid.
Poor people's insurance, Medicaid. That takes people's lives away. Right now, they're rationing their insulin, for Christ's sake. They don't take two, three shots a day. They take one, you know. So what's they going to do, have heart attacks and die and lose a leg or, you know, go deaf or blind because they can't take their insulin because they can't afford it? Does that make sense? And the housing situation, they build these big places, especially up here, is ridiculous. A crappy mobile home is $1,200 a month. It's ridiculous, a crappy one. And nurses and teachers can't afford an apartment or a house to live in up here because it's so damn expensive. It's you know, something's got to be done. People don't, you know, and it's not going to be the Republicans to help you at all.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Exactly.
No, they won't.
Speaking of that, there's a poll that was taken last week in December by Reuters, and it says Donald Trump have a slight 2-point lead, 36-34 over Biden, with 26% of the people who the poll. It was 5,000 people, not 26% saying they're not sure who they'll vote for. And we added Robert Kennedy Jr. to the mix. Trump jumps by 5 percentage point lead.
Yep.
You know, so that's scary. And Michelle Obama was recently on a podcast on purpose with Jay Shetty. And Michelle Obama said, I'm terrified about what could possibly happen. You know, and a lot of people are terrified too because what she said was, because our leaders matters, who we select, who speaks for us, who holds that bully pulpit, it affects us in ways that sometimes I think people take for granted. That's what the former First Lady said. And she was asked to name some of her biggest fears keeping her awake. And she said, quote, the fact that people think that government does it really even do anything. And I'm like, oh, my God, does government do everything for us, end quote. And we cannot take this democracy for granted. And sometimes, you know, I worry that we do. And, you know.
And people have no idea what the alternative is, what a disaster that will be for us. They have no clue.
Yeah, these are the things that keep up Michelle Obama. And while listening to listing wars in too many regions, the future of artificial intelligence, education, whether the public is too stuck
to their phones and voters' engagement among her chief concerns. So during the wide-range conversation, Jay Shetty asked the former first lady about the phrase she famously uttered in 2016 Democratic National Convention, quote, "When they go low, we go high, and how high, and how has it evolved?" And Michelle Obama said, "If anything, what does still offend you?" The podcaster asked, "Injustice, ego, and greed," Michelle Obama said. "Racism, ignorance, it's offensive, and I've always been that kid. I don't like unfairness. I don't like bullies, but I have to think about how I deliver messages," end quote. So, you know, I mean, she's right. We spoke about it earlier in the show where, you know, there's a genuine fear that these fascist Republicans will take over, led by Donald Trump. And that would be the end of democracy, because he said it in no clear terms. From day one, I'll be a dictator. You know?
Yes, he did.
And he wants to let rewrite the Constitution. I mean, who gives him the authority or the right? He's not intelligent to rewrite the Constitution. You know?
No, he's got people that are using him as a dummy, and they're behind them like a puppet, you know, with their hand up his back and telling them what to say, what to do. It's the big corporations and the far right Nazis.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And people like Lenin and Leo, another one. One day people will talk about one night people will talk about him. So the tone and the tenor of her message matters. We can't say what the first thing that comes to our minds, the beginning author said. That's childish and childish right before us. What looks like and how that feels where somebody is just base and vulgar and cynical in a leadership position, she told you. It doesn't trickle down well. That job begets more of that, Obama said. So, in other words, she's just as worried as we are. And she really has nothing to worry about, I'm sure. But you know what I'm trying to say. So
yeah, she said, when they talked about it, that I know what's going on. I know how the government works. I saw what was behind the scenes, and people have no clue how much, how complicated, what's going on. And she said, and I'm afraid.
Question,
and it's
Go ahead. Do you think, don't forget your point, Laurie, but do you think Joe Biden, if and when Trump is a Republican nominee, should President Biden agree to debate Donald Trump? Or is this a moot point where, you know, he's going to try talking over Biden?
No, I think he has to. I think he has to debate him. I do.
I pity the MC on that one, trying to keep Trump in
line.
That'll
you know what they need to do? You know what they need to do?
Cut off his mic.
I would suggest, cut off his mic. Whenever a question is asked, if President Biden is speaking, they need to cut off Orange Monster's microphone. And and the reason I think that they need to do to have this debate, in my opinion, is to show how stupid Trump is. Because when if they ask any sort of an intelligent question about any sort of policy, Trump won't have an answer. He'll have a dumb answer. He won't have any sort of, you know, material to chew on, so to speak. So that's what I would suggest. You guys think that's a good idea about shutting off the mic?
Yep. And he has no answers for the world problems that a president has to deal with, or let alone our country. He has no clue. He's just got bullshit that he keeps on spewing, and people believe it.
Because the right-wing radio stations and hosts that want to have 10 debates between Biden and Trump, you know, usually it's three tops. 10. They're proposing 10 debates.
Oh, give me a break.
You know?
No way. They don't
usually it's between 1 to 3 debates. That's the history of presidential debates. Nixon and JFK had 2 debates, you know? So
you know, this tend to be a thing. It was just like make people suffer from burnout and probably turn off people more because already they don't want the repeat of Biden versus Trump like the one I had in 2020. But we're going to have it.
Yeah.
And, you know, to have 10 debates between them is a little bit too much for anybody.
A little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, and the House Republicans, the hypocrites, they released a report recommending Hunter Biden be held in contempt of Congress. He didn't show up for their questions. They wanted it to be behind closed doors, but Hunter Biden said no, in front of the cameras, in front of people where people can listen what they ask and how I answer. And so House Republicans and the Judiciary and Oversight Committees released a report Monday, today, recommending that President Biden's son, Hunter Biden, be held in contempt of Congress for defying a subpoena to appear for a closed-door transcribed interview as a part of the impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden. I mean, these Republicans, they themselves didn't show up when they were subpoenaed. Why do you want to hold, you know, Hunter Biden contempt? You see the hypocrisy, the lunacy, the stupidity of these Republicans?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
It's just a waste of time.
Yeah.
A waste of time. That's what they're doing.
And why do they want it behind doors? Don't they want everybody to hear what he has to say? And why not?
Because he'll tell them and they're lying. That's why.
Yeah.
Because
they have
nothing.
It's a nothing burger. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Jordan and James Comer, they are the respective committee chairmen. They outlined their case for holding Hunter Biden in contempt. They said that he was presented with a subpoena requiring him to appear for a closed-door deposition and was provided an opportunity to work with them to find a time that would work best with his schedule. But instead, he made no effort to comply with their request. On the day of the deposition, Hunter Biden held a press event in front of the Capitol Hill, but took no questions. So Coleman Jordan argued that his actions were unlawful and that he should be held accountable. Wow, Jim Jordan saying somebody should be held accountable and not showing up after being subpoenaed. That's
he
rich.
He didn't go before Congress on his subpoena, did he, Jordan?
No, no, from January 6th, no.
He didn't talk.
Exactly.
No, he didn't.
You know?
And they should have put him in jail for contempt of court, and they didn't.
They should, but they didn't. So Hunter Biden's legal team has pushed back on the committee's request to appear behind closed doors, saying that his client, I was only willing to answer questions in a public setting. In a letter to the chairman, his legal team contended that the Republican-led committees will release excerpts of a closed-door testimony in small batches that lack proper context in an effort to damage the president politically. So it's a political game. It's a horse and pony show by Republicans. They don't mean well. They just want to gain political points.
Hold him in contempt of court when he says, I'm here, I'm willing. Put the camera on me, I will talk. So how can that be a contempt of court?
It's not.
Mm-hmm.
They're just wasting time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So here are some of the things that Trump is saying he'll do if reelected. So this is a reason why we have to vote for President Biden again. National abortion ban.
Hello? Okay. I don't know what the hell happened. I think Lori was cut off. I don't know what happened. Okay, so Trump wants, if reelected, wants a national abortion ban. He wants a Muslim ban. He wants family separation, put in cages of kids, mass detention camps, tax cuts for the ultra-wealthy, like they didn't get enough already, replace the civil servants with MAGA loyalists, and get rid of the civil servants, the professional civil servants. Guns in classrooms where teachers have guns, or the persecution of political opponents, that's very Nazi-like, and pardon January 6th insurrectionists. No, I mean, come on, man. That is disgusting. That's vile.
Oh, doesn't he
want to
get rid of the DOJ, too? Didn't he say he
wanted
to get rid of the DOJ?
Basically. No, he wouldn't. He doesn't want to get rid of it. He wants to politicize it, go after his political opponent. Laurie, you back with us?
Yeah, I'm back. I got disconnected.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, you
yeah, so I read what, you know, you're supposed to read
okay,
and everything,
good.
The Muslim ban.
Okay, yep.
The family
okay,
separation.
Good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. No, that's good. Yeah, thank you. I got mixed up. Just those things alone, those few things that David just read, that should be enough to turn off a voter towards him, don't you think? You would think that.
You would think
those
if they had half a brain.
You know, those are words that came out of his mouth. It's not us that are making up what he said. It's really what he said, you know. And he also said that there should be some sort of a punishment for women that have abortions, by the way. He also said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I wonder how many he paid for, huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I don't know. This country is going down toilet if the reelect Donald Trump as president. You know, this may be the last election we'll have in 2024 if he's reelected as president.
Yeah.
It's frightening.
Well, I don't
the possibilities.
I don't think that he will be reelected. I am holding myself. I'm holding my thoughts of Gen Z and the millennials. I think they're gonna come out in full force, and they're gonna vote for Joe Biden.
I think the boomers will too. They lived through a lot. They're the ones that got abortion rights in the first place. And child labor laws out of there and all that, you know, even before me. That was before me. That's my parents.
When I watch a lot of the videos, like on Instagram, when they do, when they interview these people that are at a Trump rally, a lot of them are older people. I mean, older people.
With dementia,
I think,
right? They got dementia.
I don't know what it is because you look at them and it's square in the face and they say, no, I'm going to vote for Trump. Biden isn't president right now. He's a puppet. I mean, the words that come out of their mouth, you just my jaw drops and I think, my God, this is what they really think. It is really
they're brainwashed. They're brainwashed by the media, media. They're not watching ABC, CBS, NPR. Where there's real news. They watch the crap on that other stuff. They learn how to use their little phones, you know, and so they're watching the wrong stuff. They're not getting
the
real facts.
They're older people. They're not young people. They're older people. And that
blows
my mind.
They and then it's like a club, you know. We all believe alike. So they got company, you know, and you know, you got to go along to get along, right?
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's scary as hell.
It's very scary. So that's why I'm putting my stock into the Gen Zers and, you know, the millennials that, you know, they see what's happening and they're worried about gun control and they're worried about, they're worried about gun control and they're worried about climate change and they're worried about, you know, abortion rights and all those things that affect them as well, you know. And
okay,
hopefully,
so I have 10 minutes left. I want to ask these three questions to everybody, starting with Lori. Will China invade Taiwan?
Do you think China
will invade Taiwan? This question is for everybody.
Are you talking about within the next year? Are you talking about within the next week? I mean,
within the next year, the upcoming year.
I think it's going to depend on who's president.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you know what I mean.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
I agree. If it's Trump, they're going to try.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Eric and Elaine, what do you think?
I agree with Laurie that if it's Trump, they'll invade. If it's Biden, they won't.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to believe that they're not going to invade regardless of who the president is. I think that the I would say I don't know how likely that is to happen because there's a lot of talk that China had been planning stuff for years against many countries, and a lot of it really hasn't gone through. I mean, they talked about attacking us. Well, that didn't happen under any of our presidents, regardless of some of the policies that went against them when even we had the presidents of the 70s, 80s, and even now. So overall, I would say no, they're probably not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, regardless of who the president is, I feel China is going to invade Taiwan after the election. I just have a feeling. I have this gut feeling.
Mm.
I don't know why, but I have that feeling. So will Ukraine prevail over Russian invasion? And is there an end to this conflict in sight between Russia and Ukraine?
I think that if we discontinue because of the Republicans to not give them aid and weapons, I think that Russia will win. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how can they not? You know, we saw what they did just a couple of weeks ago. I mean, they flattened. I mean, they bombed them for hours, hours upon hours.
They did today, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, today as well. You're right. And so that's what I think. I think that if the Republicans don't want Ukraine to remain a democracy, and they probably don't, we're not, I don't know how it's going to end. It's not going to end good. That's my opinion.
And if Biden isn't there pushing NATO to keep it up, to help the Ukraine, it's all going to fall apart.
Yep.
And who knows, will he be appeased with getting Ukraine, or will he go on to invade Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, then Poland, then Germany, and keep going like Hitler did, you know? That's why I have to stop it from now, okay? If he gets Ukraine, I feel he's just going to continue and try to rebuild the Soviet Empire. You know, we need to stop him from now. But Republicans are being partisan, looking to score political points. They're in the pocket of Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin. And that's why we need to elect elect Democrats and get these Republicans out, because they're putting their pocketbooks first in front of American interests and, you know, being there for our friends. I mean, Ukraine, the democracy is not perfect. No democracy is perfect, not even ours.
No.
But at least they're trying, you know. And Russia is bullying them, basically. And like I said, if Russia gets Ukraine, they'll keep marching on and trying to get Latvia, Lithuania, you know, and just rebuild the Soviet Union empire. You know, and we can't have that. We're not going to allow that. You know, we can't allow that. It's going to be another Cold War.
Yep. I agree.
Final question. Will there be peace between Israel and Palestine anytime soon, or do you see the Israelis keep bombing the Gaza Strip?
If you get rid of Netanyahu, you could probably reach some sort of a compromise. I don't trust Netanyahu.
Mm-hmm.
Never did, never will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're
he's
right.
Enjoying himself. I think he's enjoying himself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was. I mean, they were building all those settlements in another country. They went in and they're building settlements. They were taking it away from the Palestinians. I mean, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing it for a long time, just walking in. It's like Canada come into Detroit and start building stuff. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah.
Right.
He was up on charges, and he knew that this invasion was coming, and he did nothing about it because he is just as devious as Trump and his swamp. He figured, well, if he's got a way out now. Nobody's talking about getting rid of him now.
No,
I think
exactly.
I think the people of Israel, if they were smart, they would boot his ass the hell out.
Mm-hmm. Very last question, because I have 3 minutes left. Okay, do you think if Republicans don't choose Donald Trump, who do you think they'll choose? Out of the people running,
I think they're going with Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley. Lori?
Mm-hmm. I hate to say it, but I think DeSantis.
Mm-hmm. Elaine, who do you think?
I hate to say the same thing that Lori did, but I think that if it's not Trump, they're going to pick DeSantis.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Susie, who do you think?
I'd rather have DeSantis than Trump if I had to pick two evils. You know, at least he makes more sense. But,
I think
Biden.
GOP, I think the GOP wouldn't ever pick a woman, because they're not – that it's not in their constitution. Women should know the place and know the role and, you know, stay behind a man.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if Trump, you know, is not chosen, then DeSantis will be chosen.
Yep.
But anyway, that has to be the last word. We'll thank Eric. We'll thank Susan. We'll thank Elaine for calling in from Michigan. We'll thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an enjoyable show. Yesterday's show was nice as well. It was smooth, and we spoke about the significant challenges of 2024. This has been Season 6, Episode 22. It's been Monday, January 8th, 2024. This has been Kitchen Politics 123. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. I just want to say one last thing. If you miss our podcast and you want to listen to it, you just go to www.kitchenpolitics123.com, and all our podcasts are there, and you can click on it and listen to it. And have a good evening. Good night, David. Good night, Eric and Susie and Elaine. Everyone have a good evening, and we'll talk to everyone on Thursday. Thanks.
Have a good night.
Economic plan is about investing in places and people that have been forgotten. It's about making things here in America again. It's about good jobs. It's about the dignity of work. And it's about damn time we're doing it.
Joe Biden is determined to reward hard work. That's why he passed historic laws that rebuild our roads and bridges, invest in our factories, and bring back American manufacturing. Over 12 million jobs have been created, and Joe Biden's building an economy that leaves no city, no town, no American behind.
We're investing in places and people that have been forgotten. They've been invisible, but we haven't forgotten. We're building an economy from the bottom up and the middle out, where no one's going to be left behind.
Joe Biden, a president for all Americans.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message. I'm going to go to the next one.
Thank you.